Audiobook. Audiobook release. Podcast. Authors. Narrators. Interviews. Industry. News. Reviews. Sponsored by eaudioproductions.com. Welcome to the Audiobook Release Podcast, a show for audiobook lovers. Stay tuned as we share the latest news from the audiobook industry. We interview established and upcoming authors. We talk with popular narrators and review a wide range of audiobooks. Brought to you by eaudioproductions.com.
Hello, thank you for tuning in to the Audiobook Release Podcast. I'm Leah.
And I'm Matt. Our guest today is Renee Scarrett, author of Finding Page. Before we jump into our interview with Renee, here's a short sample of the audiobook version of Finding Page.
On this day, 22 years ago, my best friend Paige disappeared and was never heard from again. Not a day had gone by that I hadn't thought of her. Paige and I were inseparable and met when we were 8 years old. At the time, my father accepted a promotion as the new head coach of Bayfield, Florida's Sycamore Cove varsity football team. It meant moving away from our life in Gainesville, Georgia, which was all I had ever known. We were a family, just my father and me. My mother had passed away 2 years prior from a rare form of lung cancer. That year, leading up to my mother's death, had been traumatic, and being so young, I don't remember much of her suffering, which in many ways was a blessing in disguise. My sorrow was cloaked in the vague smog of early half-remembered maternal warmth, lacking any cruelty of the realities of her condition. I wished so badly that I could see her just one more time. I recall calling for her to tuck me in.
Wow, that sounds great. I see, Renee, as a young girl, you were a big fan of reading books. Please tell us a little bit about your early days of reading and writing.
Wow. Well, thanks for having me. I actually, I remember doing book clubs as a young girl and those scholastic book clubs. Mm-hmm. I lived in California, so when I was in school, that was the big thing. I couldn't wait to get my little packet with all the little books you could order. And I was obsessed with reading and to where my mother would come in at night and tell me, you need to go to sleep, turn off your light. Uh-huh. And I would turn on my nightlight and have my book down by my nightlight reading whatever story because I couldn't wait to finish to see what happened next. So I've always had a love for reading, and sometimes as you get older, life kind of gets in the way and you have children and things like that, but you still want to, you know, it's just that passion that lives inside of you. You either love it or you don't.
And, right. And
I feel fortunate now in my life to where I got back into doing a lot of that, not so much like with reading, but also starting to write. And I've always wanted to, and something inside me just said, you just need to do this. And well, here I am today.
Yeah, you're doing it. That's wonderful.
I'm doing it.
How many people say they're going to do something, but they never actually do it? You know, it's just,
right?
It's just takes a lot of discipline to write a book.
It does. It sure does. I've been very hard on myself because once I start something, I want to finish it. So no matter how long it takes you, if you have a passion to do something, I think you can get to the finish line.
That's really cool. Mm-hmm. Good motivation. Mm-hmm. Right. So where did you grow up and where do you live now?
I grew up in San Diego, California. I was a beach bum as a teenager, and I spent many days at the beach, and I feel very fortunate now looking back at the times where I was around family and I could go to La Jolla Shores or the Del Mar Beach or North County beaches are beautiful. And I feel very fortunate of where I grew up. And then you get to a certain point in your life and you say, is this where I want to be? You see yourself eventually retiring someday. And is this, you know, my husband and I had to make a decision, and he had family in South Dakota. And when he originally said, well, what do you think about moving back to South Dakota? My answer was, what? But yeah, you know what? I just said, let's just jump in with both feet and see what happens. And I ended up really liking it. We live in a small town, and growing up from, you know, a big city, being a city girl to a little kind of a country, not so much country girl, but living in the country where I look across the road from me on a gravel road and see cows out my window, and never thought in a million years I would have property and acres of property and be somewhere so serene. And that's where I really felt encouraged to write too. I think it was also the environment and that peace that you feel that you're able to do something like that.
Yeah, I was going to ask if the environment had a big influence on your writing.
It sure did. I didn't feel pressured. I didn't feel like, I got to do this, I got to do that. And both my children are grown now and living on their own. And that's also, I think, something to where I'm not running out the door, going to a soccer game mm-hmm. or doing something to where you have that time to yourself. And it's allowed me to, you know, all of the elements come together and they have allowed me to do what I'm doing now.
Sorry, I'm like picturing like in a book, you know, like you're in your home and like you just were describing how there are no neighbors, right? You're on this land and you're really in nature, right?
Right. Yes. I remember when we were going to move in the house, I remember walking in the house to look at it. And I said, I don't know what it is, but I feel we're going to live here. And it was just this, you know, sense of peace. And I just said, I need that so badly. And we feel good about it. Every day we drive up to our house on our gravel road. It's this feeling. I've never had that about a house before, but it's just that feeling that you just feel like you belong there.
Wow. What a perfect feeling to have.
Yeah, it really is. We're the good part in our lives, and our lives have been good, but I should say it's just this, it takes the stress off of the day-to-day, and it's so much more laid back, and people here are so nice. And to real quickly tell you guys something, it's kind of funny, but when we first moved here, there, you know, you drive by somebody, and they kind of put their finger up or wave at you, and when I first saw that, I turned around, and I'm like, who are they waving at? And my husband's like, they're waving at us, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm not used to that, because you know, it's just so funny. So now I'm used to driving down the road, you see somebody every now and then, and they just put their hand up like they're saying hi. But I'm like, that's so nice. I wish the whole world was kind of like right. that. It would be maybe a different place.
If everyone said hi to a stranger, right?
Right. Yeah.
Which makes sense. I don't know why you wouldn't say hi, you know? Right. We're all on this earth together. Let's try to work together.
And people are so in their cell phones and everything now.
Right. That's true.
You know, you're lucky if you get somebody to look up sometimes. And that's what I was used to in the city. Not that everybody was like that, but it was, you know, you just kind of into your own thing. And it's changed my whole perspective moving out to where we're at now. So yeah, South Dakota has been good.
Did you start writing when you moved to South Dakota, or were you writing before you moved?
I was blogging before I moved, but not doing so much writing. I thought I wanted to write romance and then with a little bit of adventure thrown in. And I tried my hand at that. I felt like, I don't know if that's my forte. I think it takes sometimes trying something and seeing what you really enjoy doing. And once we moved into the house here where we're at, I said, you know, I remember the days of growing up loving B.C. Andrews, the author, and Flowers in the Attic series, and how it was dark, but it was like, oh my gosh. And you just kept turning the pages to go, what happened next? And I really thought, I'm going to try my hand at that. And I ended up really enjoying that. So I think that I found my niche, and I love writing. There's something where you just feel like you develop these characters. They come to you somehow and you just start. I take a lot of notes, but you see this pages of notes you have and all of a sudden you say, oh, their name is this and da, 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 oh, and they're going to do that. And all of a sudden you have this outline of your characters and then wondering which way the story is going to go, because if you're a note taker, you kind of go, well, it could do this and da, da, da. But I wanted to throw in twists and turns until the very end. And I've gotten a lot of great feedback on that. That's wow. You know, I didn't want to put the book down and that kind of thing. And that's what I want for my readers, really. And those are the kind of books I enjoy.
Yes. So the characters are obviously very powerful. People are going to keep turning the pages, correct?
Yes. There's psychological thriller. That's really the genre. But also, I want to say there's a little bit of supernatural in there. In the real world, there's no fantasy world or anything like that. But there is a little bit of supernatural in there. And it all makes sense when you get to the end. And it could happen, really. I mean, with things that happen nowadays, strange things that people can't explain, I could see that very easily happening in a world of, we're in the natural world, but there's a supernatural world. So you never know.
Yes, right.
And how many books have you written, Renee?
This is my first thriller. I tried my hand at a romance book. I don't think that's my first. I did enjoy it, but I enjoy on my niche and I intend to write more. So this one took me 2 years to write just because I do work as well outside of the home. So it's just in my spare time where I'm just sitting down and writing and when sure. I found the time. So it took took a couple years.
But that's great to be able to do it in 2 years. I mean, some people, you know, work a decade or more on their book.
You get halfway through and go, oh, is anybody going to let, you know, you just start questioning yourself. And then I think that's so natural for anybody sure. that's writing, just going, is anybody going to like this? Or is it just me? And then you go, no, this is so good. Like the next year, you're like, this is so good.
Did you have a certain ritual for writing?
I think forcing myself to sit down and start. And then when I did, it just flowed for me many times. Like some people say, how do you get to the next chapter? Well, I just start writing. I mean, it just kind of, you know, and if you take a lot of notes of like where you think you want the story to go to, you start piecing things together. That helped me a lot. I don't know. I mean, names just kind of come to you. I was even lying in bed one night and the concept for Finding Paige, that's the name of my book, dawned on me. I was contemplating about the bond between two friends who share this extraordinary connection as they met each other when they were like 8 years old. And it made me think about the possibility that perhaps these friends could perceive things that others couldn't. Mm. So there's kind of that, you know, why are they special? And so I jotted down all my thoughts on paper until that kind of materialized into a story outline. But that's kind of how it came to be. Usually it's when I'm lying in bed or, you know, mm-hmm. something funny, like you're taking a shower and washing your hair mm-hmm. and all of a sudden you're like, oh, you know, and just, oh, I'm going to write this down.
Right. So is that when the title Finding Paige came to you when you were in bed that mm-hmm. night? Wow.
It was because I had all these ideas, but I'm thinking, what would the title be? And she's going to stop at nothing to find Paige. Olivia is the main character of the book. So she's going to stop at nothing to find her because she just can't rest. It just Finding Paige just went boing, right. And oh my gosh. Yeah. That should be the name of the book. So.
Wow. And did you have any family members read the book and encourage you?
I did. My own mom, who I didn't know if she would, she's very religious and she reads most biblical stuff, but she said, I want to read your book. And I said, okay. And she read it and she's like, I can't believe you wrote that. That was so good. <that's> So that made me feel good. And yeah, I've had other family members. My husband read the book and he's not a reader, I will say. And he read the book and said he really enjoyed it too. So, you know.
Well, that's pretty good because if anyone's going to tell you the truth, it's going to be family members.
Yeah, yes, right. Exactly. They're going to tell you that they like it or they don't.
Right. And especially your mom.
I know it sounds kind of funny, but people that aren't even part of my family anymore from a previous marriage, like people I knew and said, oh my gosh, I read your book and it was so good. And so, I mean, that to me was like, wow, thank you so much for that. I'm internally grateful for people coming forward and at least giving me their feedback because it helps me too.
Oh, sure.
As an author, it does help me. And people are asking me, when's the next book going to come out? I mean, so I'm like, oh, I'm starting.
At least 2 years.
Yeah, it probably. So I'm like, I wish it would be a little faster than that, but I enjoy writing. I really do. And anytime I can pick up a book and read, usually on road trips and things like that too, I can read a whole book at an airport or something and just, right. And that's kind of nice too. I just kind of tune everything out and read.
Well, Renee, what was the research you did when you were writing Finding Paige?
That was interesting because I had to research a lot about police procedures. I actually joined a Facebook group on a gentleman that had done podcasts and he used to be a police detective and now he is a writer. And I joined his group and I asked a lot of questions in it about handguns and, you know, just things that I wasn't aware of. And in reality, would they do this or would they do that? And I got a lot of feedback on that. So that really, I had to kind of, I didn't know anything about that. So that helped me. And I educated myself at the same time.
That's a good resource. Getting it right from somebody who knows what they're doing.
Yeah. And, you know, as a criminal investigator and detectives and things like that, I had to do some research on how they would go about conducting their investigations and things like that. So people that have died and what's the protocol? What are the steps when somebody's killed or if they go to the morgue and what's the next step? So I had to research all of these things because I wanted to make it most realistic that it takes place in what I made up a city because she works for the police department in Florida. I made up a city. So it's not because there are maybe some good cops and bad cops type of scenario. I didn't want to throw at any city in Florida.
You know? Sure.
So I made up a town or a city, and it's called Bayfield, Florida. And
that sounds real.
Well, that took a long time because Florida is big. And every time I thought of a name, it was like, oh, there is a city. But I wanted it to. She was originally from Gainesville, Georgia. And then they moved to, when she was little, they moved to Bayfield, Florida. And her father knew a lot of the big guys, like some people in the police department, some attorneys and things like that. So she grew up around those kind of people. And I'm not going to give anything away on the book, but the reader would just have to read because I don't want to spoil anything. But I will say she stops at nothing. She dreams about what happened to her friend Paige. Her friend Paige disappeared at 8, and she feels guilty because she wasn't with her when it happened. And her friend had asked her to go with her, and she feels guilty for that. And then she always remembers that. So there's something in her soul that wants her to, whether she was, if she died, you know, what happened to her, or where is she? I mean, did somebody take her? She's going to stop at nothing to try to find her. Parts of that got me emotional. In fact, when the audiobook was made and I heard my characters come to life, I had tears in my eyes. So that was pretty special.
Well, why don't we talk a little bit about the audiobook version of Finding Paige? So it was edited, mixed, and mastered by E-Audio Productions, and they made sure the production was at the industry standard. Well, what was your experience working with Elias and his team?
Oh, they were great. Now with, you know, Elias kept me in the know because I've never done an audiobook before. This was my first one. Working with the narrator, she was great too. We had a message board that we all communicated on, and she would do her readings. I would go back and listen to it. And boy, when they put it all together with the music and everything, I was like blown away. Wow. I mean, and like I said, I got tears in my eyes when the narrator actually went into a voice that sounded like how Paige and Olivia would have sounded when they were little girls. And then also as it goes through the book, getting towards the end, I was very, I mean, I wrote it, but I was emotional because, you know, and I'd already, and you do some crying, oh, that's not good enough. No, I want them to feel this. So but it made me very happy. I would say, they were great. They were really great at producing, narrating that. And I can't say enough about them. And Amy Smith, the narrator, she was wonderful. I am so happy with the outcome of it. And it's out there.
How did you find Amy?
I actually, with E-Audio Productions, they had a long, long list of narrators, but I was looking at for that Olivia was a female, of course, in a certain age. She was 31. So I wanted to find somebody that kind of fit and who I thought she would sound like, I guess, or what I thought she would sound like. And I listened to a lot of female voices before I chose her. And I was very happy with my choice. And she did a great job.
Do they give you a sample reading of what the book sounds like? Or do you just listen?
They do.
Oh, okay.
Yes. They gave me a sample reading, and I took my time going through who I thought would best fit that character. And she fit the bill. So.
Great. And then you listen to, like in the movies, they have dailies where they get to see the clips at the end of the day. Were they sending you clips as the book was being produced?
Yeah. So as she completes a chapter or a couple chapters, you listen to it and you can stop it and say, hey, I like this, or I don't like this about this, or this needs to be pronounced like that, or can you do this, or whatever it is. If you want them to change something, they'll go back and do it, and then they'll send it to you, and then you have to approve it in order to move forward to the, you know, until you get through all of the chapters to the end of the book. And then
that's wonderful that you have some control. So it isn't like they're saying this is how it is. You actually get to have a say in how it turns out.
Yes. And I'm glad I did. Amy is Amy Smith. She's from Australia. So she has a little bit of an accent, but she does different voices, and it's so wonderful. And so there's some things in, you know, you as a person, if you're from Australia, you might be fine, but she does European accents too. And I mean, she's, you know, English, and, but there's some of that, it's got that little, and I'm like, well, it might, I think the word would sound like this, you know, or,
okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I love the sound of her voice. I think she just did a terrific job.
Impressive to be able to read an entire book. in an accent, yeah. not how you normally talk.
Or how she can change it, or she's talking, and now in a male voice, the chief of police talking, and she has to, or he's speaking to Olivia, she has to change her voice. I mean, she just did a great job with all of the characters' voices. So I'm so pleased with how it turned out.
So your book is available on Audible and all platforms that have audiobooks.
That's correct.
That is fantastic. Great. So it'll be easy to find.
Yes, they can go to any platform to get the audiobook. And I'd love to hear some feedback or reviews. Those are really important to let other, readers know just a little bit about what other people think about the book.
We saw on Amazon, you have a lot of 5-star reviews for your book.
Yes, and that's so nice. I enjoy reading all of them. I have a few readers that have contacted me through Facebook or my website too, and they've expressed interest and asked questions too. And it's just really nice to be able to feel like, you're an author and you're out there, and I'm enjoying the whole process. I will say that on the platforms, like my book is also available in paperback and Kindle, like all the major retailers. But I just think there's something special about hearing it, I guess, in an audiobook format, whether you're driving to work or you're on a road trip or something. I mean, it definitely keeps you in suspense and wondering what happens next, because there's a lot of twists. There's a lot of twists.
So we see that you have 5 dogs. So that must take a lot of time to take care of the 5 dogs.
But, I can hear them barking outside. Right now.
We can hear them. So are you going to write another book?
And will the dogs be included?
Yeah.
Yeah, when it's quiet, it's nice, and they're big dogs. So, and my husband, long story short, he goes hunting sometimes. So we have hunting dogs and they are just da 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 da. They just, and then they will be quiet for a while. So that's the best time of the day when I can actually just, concentrate, not have to hear, whoa, 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 whoa.
Yeah.
But my goals are, yes, to write another book. And I have started, but I'm kind of going back and forth on it right now. So hopefully it doesn't take 2 years, but it's in the outline process at the moment.
Excellent.
Well, that's wonderful.
And what's your advice for people who are writing a book?
The best advice I could give, or the most valuable, is to never give up. Writing can be exciting, but it can also be a frustrating process. And it's essential to keep pushing forward and just have faith in yourself, really. I mean, there were countless times when I wanted to just kind of throw in the towel, and there's other days I didn't, but I'm glad I didn't. And I didn't just say, oh, I'm not going to do, I set a goal for myself to finish it. And I said, I am going to do this. I don't care how long it takes me but believing in my ability to see my story through to the end was something that my characters felt alive to me. They did. They just felt like, you have to do this. And then as I started to write, I felt like they were telling me which direction to go into. And then I wrote many drafts. So right when you think you're done, oh no, uh-huh. Oh, this is rough draft. Okay. It's the final. Nope. Final, final two, final three, final four. So you just get to an end of writing and you say, oh my gosh, I did this. And I'm so happy with how this turned out. That's the feeling. And it's so exciting. And I can't even tell somebody for the first time, if they're writing a book and they get that book in their hand for the first time, it's emotional. I bet. You're saying, I did this. Wow. And it's a good feeling, and don't give up on yourself. I was ecstatic when I finally crossed the finish line and was able to share Finding Paige with the world. And I'm glad I did. And if it's within you, I think either somebody has it within them or they don't. There's no in between. They either are going to want to do it or they're just not. So you have to want it.
Well, I think that's great advice.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
Well, Renee Scarrett, author of Finding Paige, thank you very much for being with us today on the Audiobook Release Podcast. It's been great talking to you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. And it was nice speaking to you guys as well. And thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to the Audiobook Release Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast to ensure you'll never miss an episode. We value your opinion, so feel free to post a rating or review. Stay tuned for the next episode of the Audiobook Release Podcast. Brought to you by eaudioproductions.com.